The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. Millions of Americans and Canadians are reading about a secret rapture, which could supposedly occur at any minute. Will you be left behind? Or are there millions of people being given false information about a secret rapture? Can you be absolutely sure? Can the plain truth about a secret rapture be made clear from the pages of your own Bible? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, will you be left behind? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, millions of sincere Protestant evangelicals have been taught to expect a secret rapture. Many books have been written about this theory. A lot of money's been made. Picture yourself on a commercial airline flight. Suddenly, the pilot and co-pilot simply disappear. God has raptured them off to heaven. At least that's what these people teach. And your plane goes into a spin and crashes, killing everyone aboard. Sound horrendous? Yet this is the kind of scenario pictured by believers in the secret rapture. Millions believe this theory. The key question is, what does the Bible actually say? For there are hundreds of different human ideas and theories about the future. You know that. Yet they contradict each other. They cannot all be right. That's obvious. The only way to know the genuine answer to such questions is by divine revelation. Otherwise, we all have our own opinion. The great God who made us tells us this in His Holy Bible. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible gives us fundamental instructions on all spiritual issues. It is the mind of God. It is the instruction manual your Creator gives you. We've got to learn to believe it. Believe what the Bible says, and you've got to read it to understand what it says, of course. What does the Bible then say about a secret rapture, my friends? First of all, the term rapture is never used in the entire Bible. That's right. Go look at, get an exhaustive concordance. The term rapture is never, ever used in the entire Bible. The theory of a secret rapture was never understood or taught by the church until a British preacher, John Nelson Darby, began to promote this theory in the 1830s. That was some 1,800 years after the death of Christ and most of the original apostles. Why was it never generally taught or understood before? Why? And why doesn't the Bible discuss it in plain language, if it's so important? 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. In other words, the saints who had died. They were dead and people were upset. Why did God let some of the saints die? They were hoping and believing, many of them, that Christ would come in their lifetimes. Why did God allow these people to die? So he said, I want to tell you, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, we do sorrow when people die, and as we go to see people's graves and cemeteries and this type of thing, why, of course, there's sorrow there. We understand that, and that's a natural thing. Nothing wrong with that, but we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope. Our hope, the hope of the true Christian, should be in the resurrection from the dead. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him, with Jesus, those who sleep in Jesus. They are dead, but they are temporarily asleep from the point of view of God, because God speaks of those things which are not as though they were, we find in Romans 4:17. they're alive in God's sight, because if they're dead in Christ, they will rise, and nothing can stop them. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The people who are alive are not going to rise before the dead people come up out of their graves. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. But they rise after that trumpet. That is the order of events here, very clearly. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, they're not clouds around God's throne. When you get the whole story, it's very clear they're caught up into the clouds of this earth's atmosphere. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. They will rise after that awesome trumpet. Think about that. What does the Bible say? At this point, I invite you to write for an eye-opening booklet which reveals what is really ahead for America, Canada, and Australia, and for all of God's people who may be sincere in our nations. Is there rapture? This booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain, will help you understand the true end-time scenario of Bible prophecy. So call us or write us today and request your free copy of What's Ahead for America and Britain. Please call now. The operators are waiting.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304. San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. Will you be left behind? Turn again, my friends, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to start just with verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Again, notice that the dead saints rise first. People all over the earth in the graves rise up before the living rise up. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, a tremendous shout echoes around the earth, and with the trumpet of God, a great trumpet blast echoes all over the earth, one of the most monumental events in human history before the saints rise. The trumpet of God sounds, and then the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, after the dead rise up, after the trumpet blast that echoes around the earth, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, not up to the heaven of God's throne. The Bible describes three heavens, the heaven of this earth's atmosphere, where there are clouds and the birds fly, the heaven of the sun, moon, and stars, we call the heavenly bodies, and then the third heaven is clearly described in the Bible, and that is the heaven of God's throne, way off somewhere, invisible. So he's talking about the saints rising in the air, as we shall soon see, the heaven of this earth's atmosphere, and thus we will always be with the Lord. So that's very important. Do you see any description here of people unexpectedly disappearing before these other events? Do you see any description of massive automobile wrecks, great pileups on the highways and freeways because saints have been raptured from behind the wheel of their car during this normal society? Of course not. You see events leading up, as we will see, to the second coming of Christ, massive things, including a great shout from an archangel of God and a tremendous trumpet blast going all over the earth, and then the resurrection occurs. Now notice what the Apostle Paul wrote about the order of events and the coming resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians. chapter 15, verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." This whole chapter is called the resurrection chapter. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they who are Christ at his coming. He came the first time, and then he comes one more time. The Bible never speaks of Christ coming back to this earth twice. Never says that. Yet the rapturists believe that Christ sneaks back to earth and later comes in power. But none of the biblical verses indicate that at all. This certainly doesn't either. Afterward, they who are Christ at his coming. And then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and power, for he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. He's going to ultimately destroy death. And that's wonderful. We have that to look forward to. There is going to be a resurrection from the dead, but not in the way these raptures talk about, of course. Turn to verse 50 now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Paul writes, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." A lot of people think the kingdom of God is sort of in your heart, or it's the church. No, the kingdom of God is not flesh and blood at all, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So some saints will, in fact, live right up to Christ's second coming. That part is true. But he's not going to come sneaking back invisibly to snatch them off or something before his powerful coming. He comes back to this earth one time. So he says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." When? That's the question. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible," absolutely incorruptible, unable to suffer, unable to die, "made spirit by God, and we, the saints, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." But that is after the last trumpet. The inspired answer to this is very clear in your Bible. What is that trumpet? When does all this occur? Turn to Revelation chapter 6 now. Revelation chapter 6. And notice here, God begins to give us an outline. Jesus Christ is the revelator. As you read in Revelation 1, verse 1, he's revealing events for the final days. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, John writes, "Now I saw when the Lamb, Jesus Christ, opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures say, with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And then John sees a white horse, which is really false prophets, and then the fiery red horse, picturing war. The third seal is opened, a black horse, famine. The fourth seal is opened, a pale horse, disease epidemics that are described as coming next in Matthew 24. And then you find after that in verse 9, he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Next you have the tribulation and the martyrdom of saints. And then finally, you see great heavenly signs described here in the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun, moon, and stars are jerked out of their place. And then, in verse 17, "For the great day of God's wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Now, these first six seals are opened, and now what's going to happen during the seventh seal? Well, the next chapter in this book, Revelation chapter 7, talks about the sealing of the 144,000 and the innumerable multitude. But the story flow picks up again in chapter 8, Revelation 8, verse 1. "When he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." And you find then they begin to blow the seven trumpets. Tremendous trumpet plagues, one after the other. Some of the most awesome, mind-boggling events in human history. Verse 6, "So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up." Think about that. All the green grass all over the earth. Verse 8, then the second angel sounded, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, and it fell on the rivers and the water, and of course they become bitter. And then the fourth angel sounded, and terrible things happened in the sun, moon, and stars. And then he sees an angel flying saying, woe, woe, woe. And the three woes are the final three trumpets. You find two of them described in Revelation 9. A tremendous attack, apparently, that's going to take place from a United States of Europe that's forming right now. And then a counterattack is going to come back on them, described a little bit later in this chapter. And then, of course, you find an inset chapter, chapter 10, describing the glory of God, chapter 11, describing the two witnesses and what they do, because things are getting right toward the end by now. And finally, in chapter 11 and verse 13, and in the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. That's the city of Jerusalem. In the earthquake, 7,000 men were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe comes quickly. Then, here it is, my friends, chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded. This is the famous last trumpet. And there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign, Christ shall rule on this earth forever and ever. The last trumpet culminates an entire series of absolutely earth-shaking events. The Bible never pictures any secret coming, Christ sneaking back to earth when people are going around their normal duties and absolutely astonished when he comes again. Rather, the most awesome, monumental, mind-boggling events in earth's history precede Christ's second coming and the resurrection of the saints. Think about it. That is very important to realize. The seventh trumpet talks about what's going to happen, and the first, second, and third trumpets, of course, which we described, are going to shake the entire earth, change the entire ecology, shake nations to their foundations. All of this happens before the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of the saints. Notice again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says here, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. So the true saints of God will always be with Christ. Where will Jesus Christ be at his second coming? Turn to Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. This is talking about the last days leading right up to Christ's return. Once again, that city of Jerusalem is going to be conquered. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity. Now, we can understand that more today because half the city is Jewish, basically. Half the city is Arab, and that's the way it's going to be. Half the city goes into captivity. But the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the eternal, that's Jesus Christ at his second coming, the Lord God of Israel, will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, in the very day that Jerusalem is shaken and so forth, in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And then he says in verse 8, and in that day, it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem. God's going to bless that whole land once again. Half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Not up in heaven, but over all this earth. Christ will be ruling on this earth. My friends, I personally have climbed the Mount of Olives and have driven up there as well two or three times. You perhaps have done the same thing if you've been a tourist in Israel. It's just a big hill east of Jerusalem, but it's on this earth. And your Bible says very clearly that Christ and his saints will return to that literal spot here on this earth, not up in heaven. He will rule on the earth. And then you find in verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They will be taught to keep God's holy days at that time, the holy days which are described in your Bible. This is on the earth. It says all these nations will be alive on this earth, and they will come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and to worship Christ, who will be on this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Will you believe what your Bible actually says? That's so important. People say, well, we really love the Lord and we study the Bible. But too often people just read, you know, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and they get sentimental, or they memorize the Lord's Prayer. And one of the early phrases in the Lord's Prayer is, thy kingdom come. But they don't know what that means. They just kind of mumble it in church, you know. I used to do that in the church in which I grew up, you know. They say, now as the Lord Jesus said, let's all bow our heads. So he prayed, and then we all start mumbling, you know. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. But we didn't have any idea whatsoever what that meant, that a real government was going to be set up on this earth, that Christ would be coming back in power as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule this earth and to set up a government here to teach people the whole way of God. Most professing Christians don't understand that. Most professing Christians don't read their Bibles. Most professing Christians don't even remotely understand the Bible. God help you to understand. Do you study your Bible? Do you follow this? Do you get it? If you want God's protection, and you're not going to be raptured, but you can be protected if you want it, you'd better learn to really study this book. And I hope and pray you'll be watching regularly the Tomorrow's World program and reading our literature, because we are the servants of the living God, and we will tell you the truth, and we will prove it right out of this book, the Bible. Turn to Revelation 5 now, Revelation 5 and verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Here speaking of Jesus Christ, redeeming the saints. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. The saints will reign on this earth after Christ's coming, not up in heaven. That's what your Bible clearly reveals. Be sure to call or write immediately and request our eye-opening booklet, which describes the real future of our people. What's ahead for America and Britain? This booklet spells out the genuine prophetic scenario which lies just ahead. Just ask for the booklet on America and Britain. That's all you need. Remember the booklet and call. They're both free.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, when Jesus Christ was asked about his second coming, he gave a very clear order of events. Notice Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? The end of this present age before Christ returns as King of Kings. Then, as you'll see, as you look over these verses, he says, let no man deceive you. He says, then there's going to be war, and obviously world war, as he goes on to say, and there are going to be famines, pestilences, or disease epidemics, and earthquakes. This is verse 7. Those things come right in that order. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then he says down in verse 20, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. because there is a flight to a place of safety, frankly, on this earth. But that's another subject. Then will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then he says in verse 29, follow me, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then, after the tribulation, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's not going to sneak back, and there's no record of him sneaking back here in between either in any of these verses. And he, after these awesome events, after the great tribulation, after the heavenly signs shake the heavens, and he then will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, that last trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. They're not winds up in heaven, but they're gathered from the winds, from the clouds of this earth's atmosphere, from one end of heaven, the heaven of this earth's atmosphere, to the other. And they meet Christ over Jerusalem and ascend to the Mount of Olives. That's what the Bible says over and over. And absolutely nothing is said about a secret rapture in this or any of these verses. In fact, the massive divine intervention and prophetic events pictured in your Bible are the exact opposite of what the rapturists would have you believe. So wake up and smell the roses, for Jesus Christ is coming in magnificent power, and his true saints will join him in ruling and bringing real peace and joy to this mixed-up world. If you're willing to obey the truth, if you're willing to study this book, if you're willing to really study the Tomorrow's World magazine and the booklets we offer you and compare them with your Bible, then you need not be left behind. You can learn the truth. Turn to John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Do we abide in his word? My friends, that's the question. Or do we want to hang on to our own mixed up, confused ideas and theories? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We must repent of believing and following the vain theories of misguided men. Actually following the biblical truth will enable you to be Christ's genuine disciple and to live and rule with him forever. Again, my friends, be sure to call now and request this very important booklet. This is really a key booklet to understand Bible prophecy. What's ahead for America and Britain? It will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So don't delay. Call now before you forget. And be sure to make time each week, my friends, to tune in to the Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.